Good morning and welcome into Big Talk, college sports with a Midwest perspective, blue collar and blue blood. I'm Dalton Shetler, that's Sam Sprunger, as we are now starting to get into the thick of the Big Ten basketball season, and there's no place we'd rather be. Like, this is it for us. We love the grind of what the college basketball regular season is. Sam, how we doing?
I love me some football, but you know what? Nothing beats a frigid January Tuesday evening, and you get to watch, you know, some hotly contested basketball between, you know, your rival and you win by 20 plus, and it's even better.
And of course, Sam is talking about the Boilermaker win over Indiana that took place here recently. You know what I love just as a Big Ten basketball fan? And of course, like, I'm very invested in both the men's, the women's. If there isn't a lot of Big Ten games on a specific night, I'll be watching other games from around the country. Like, I'm just watching basketball a lot. One of my favorite things, because there's so much going on, there's so many games, and you get so much in your own life, right? You kind of get dizzied from everything taking place. You can't keep track of any kind of schedule. One of my favorite activities is to open up the ESPN app and look to see what games are going to be played tonight in Big Ten basketball, and being like, Keisei Tominaga tonight? Okay.
I forgot about that.
Oh, or like, they're playing tonight? Or like tonight you have Wisconsin trying to bounce back from a loss at Penn State, and they're going to be hosting Indiana. Like, sign me up. That sounds terrific.
I'm not rooting for the Hoosiers, but I can tell you I won't be sad if I see Wisconsin lose.
Yeah. Now, okay. Now, this is an interesting paradox. We actually have serious Big Ten basketball to talk to a little bit later on, but for Sam Sprunger, the Purdue fan, of course, what you're talking about is Wisconsin still is number one in the Big Ten conference with only one Big Ten loss. Purdue has two Big Ten losses. If this game, Indiana going to Wisconsin, were to be played in the final game of the regular season, and this was the hypothetical, would you then be pulling for Indiana?
I can answer that question with confidence, Dalton. Absolutely not. Purdue shouldn't have put themselves in that position to have to rely on them to win it or help them win it. And the reason why this came to fruition in my life, Dalton, is because a few years back, probably about 8 or so years ago, the Bears, I'm a Chicago Bears fan, needed the Green Bay Packers to beat the Minnesota Vikings in the final game of the season, and the Bears would have made it to the playoffs. So I openly rooted for the Packers. Makes me throw up a little bit. And they lost. So nope, never again will I do it, because you know what? Even when I want to root for you, you let me down anyways. So no, I would not root openly for IU to win if it meant Purdue lost out on something, because you know what? You should have done better.
That is capturing beautifully the bitterness of rivalries, and I love every ounce of that. Like we said, we got a lot of Big Ten basketball to get to, both men's and women's, a lot of different storylines, some big games taking place this weekend. We mentioned Wisconsin hosts Indiana, trying to bounce back here tonight. There's some other Big Ten basketball games taking place this weekend that are certainly worth your attention. If we move forward to tomorrow, Penn State travels to Ohio State, Purdue's at Iowa, but the one that I love, Northwestern at Nebraska. Sign me up. I love that game. Sunday, Michigan State goes to Maryland. I see you're going to jump in. We'll revisit, because I'm flying through.
Yeah, you're fine.
Michigan State goes to College Park. This one's interesting to me because Michigan State, still a little up and down through sorts, but they're in a stretch of games where they need to take care of business. But Maryland, starting to find itself a little bit. The Terps aren't the team we thought they'd be in the preseason, but they just knocked off Illinois, and you wonder if they're starting to show life as that team we thought maybe they could be. And Rutgers will also be at number 14, Illinois, as the Illini look for win.
So Rutgers is going to them?
Yes.
Okay. Not as upset alert that you need.
Agreed. But so six Big Ten men's basketball games this weekend, and I saw your brain was starting to pop on a couple of those matchups. What did you like?
The Nebraska Northwestern game, because
love that as a fan. Love that
for two reasons. Those are the two teams that have beaten Purdue, so it's interesting to see which one of those two will come out. But also, Northwestern is very sporadic as well. They're maybe not as herky-jerky as Michigan State has been this year, but they beat Purdue, then go lose to Chicago State, both at home. Mm-hmm. Then they go and beat Michigan State, you know, at home. It'll be interesting. I know this is in Lincoln, or at least pretty sure this one's in Lincoln.
Yes.
But it'll be interesting to see which Northwestern team shows up to play that Nebraska team in Lincoln, because that could be a really, really good matchup.
Well, and here's something that's been interesting as well so far this season. Basically, if you want to find the winner of those matchups, for the most part, if you pick the home team, you're probably going to be right. I mean, the home team probably so far this year, 85%
of the time, right?
Well, I actually did the math. And okay. Let's see. What was last night? I know Michigan State won at home, but what was the other game? Oh, Illinois won on the road at Michigan. Correct. So that Correct. Disrupts us yeah. a little bit. But going into last night, the percentages were 75% of the time the home team was winning. Just a quarter of the time is a team going on the road in the Big Ten and winning games. And I think there's a couple of things to take away from that. Obviously, road life has always been difficult, but even we've seen the very best of the best in the Big Ten Conference go on the road and struggle. We talk about Purdue losing at Northwestern. We talk about losing at Nebraska. Wisconsin finally gets its first conference loss by going to Penn State on a snow day at Penn State, where they have to have free admission for the students, and it ends up in a court storm. Like, playing on the road this year, there's a couple of years where it gets overwhelmingly in favor of the home team. Yeah. This year is one of those years.
How about Lance Jones making the comment he did about Assembly Hall?
Oh, no, yeah. I know that just upset everybody in crimson and made everybody in black and gold just glee as heck. Oh,
for sure. And I'm sure he played it up a little bit. I'm sure it was very disruptive when it was loud. By the end of the game, it was not very loud, obviously. But I'm guessing that he played that up into the rivalry just to poke him in the ribs, like, afterwards.
Gotta love it. Well, and I've told you before, I mean, I have professionally been covering Big Ten basketball. Now this is year 8, mm-hmm. Where I've been covering it in some respect. So I've been to all the different arenas. I've been everywhere. Number one for me is Mackey Arena in the Big Ten, and it's borderline number one in the country. Now there's a couple places in the country that's still on my bucket list. I have not been to Fog Allen. I imagine Fog Allen's probably going to be number one by the time I eventually do that. There's a couple others.
Take that statement out of your mouth.
But like in ones I've personally been to, I've been to Duke and Mackey right now are like neck and neck in my mind. Duke might have an advantage. That place is pretty special, but
I wouldn't doubt it.
But Mackey is number one in the Big Ten for me. And it's interesting because I actually saw this piece recently in the News Gazette there in Illinois, where Scott Ritchie, a columnist, ranked all the different Big Ten gyms and how hard it is for opponents to go in and win. Right. And number two after Mackey, because he agreed with me, Mackey's number one, was Simon Scott Assembly Hall at number two. And I think there's a couple things to take away from that, too, is that the state of Indiana just shows, again, what makes it so special with basketball, that they take the top two. But I've told you this, and this is why I gave the credentials on the front end about how long I've been doing this, is from my understanding, Simon Scott Assembly Hall was a much more difficult place to play when Bob Knight was the head coach, and it was a different time of Indiana basketball. What I've experienced in the 8 years, it doesn't move the needle past Mackey. That's not to say that's not supposed to spit or thumb your nose at the history or anything. I'm just saying that what they'd say about Simon Scott Assembly Hall, I mean, it very well could be true. I just haven't seen it in the last 8 years.
Yeah, and it is very possible. You know, everything acts cyclically. So, mm-hmm. you know, at some point, you know, they met up at each other and Purdue passed. You know, and down the road 20 years from now, it may flip back. It's all from and honestly, I don't know, and maybe you can lend something to this, of having been involved so long in college basketball. Does the turnover or coaching turnover play into that a little bit?
Well, and that's why I think, like, I believe my first year covering was Tom Crean's final year. And so Tom Crean goes out. Archie Miller
had him at number one at one point.
Tom Crean won two Big Ten titles. Like people forget, like that was not
the look,
were there things that maybe you could be unhappy about? Sure, but like Indiana basketball was relevant for a 4-year window in the Big Ten conference. Yeah. But then came the Archie Miller era. So I've been covering all through that. Mike Woodson's tenure, been covering all through that. So I think we're talking about an Indiana program that until what, last year or 2 years ago, had not been in the NCAA tournament for like 6 years, seven years.
Yeah.
I think the lack of success was hurting the home court environment. And that's why I give the caveat that, look, right. I understand Assembly Hall from everything I hear was a different beast than what I've experienced. That's not to throw away the respect there. And I've seen flashes at Assembly Hall.
For sure.
It's just like consistently, because I think the lack of success in my time covering the Big Ten, it hasn't rivaled as maybe history tells you.
Well, and I just kind of wondered that, you know, in my lifetime, you know, Bob Knight was the first IU coach, and then you have Mike Davis, then you have, you know, Tom Crean, you have that, what, a level of, or a row of four or five coaches after Coach Knight.
Calvin Sampson.
Yeah, Sampson. I forgot about Sampson. But then you have Gene Katie, Matt Painter. I mean, those are the Purdue coaches in my lifetime. I'm not saying it because I'm a Purdue fan. It's the longevity that allows for, you know, we know this is what our team is. We're going to be loud. I don't know, because I've only experienced two head coaches for my team, whereas my rival has seen a plethora. Yes, I said a plethora.
Well, I think that's actually a pretty appropriate word for it. But I also think there's something to that. I mean, look at Purdue and what they've built with the two paint crews on the ends of the arena. I mean, you kind of know what you're getting with that, and they're embedded with it. Again, the paint crew, Michigan State, the Izzone. Like, that's been a thing for a very long time before Tom Izzo was the head coach. As he's in his 29th year, it was Judd Heathcote there forever as well, and it was Judd's jungle. Like, I think if there is longevity, somebody established, I'm with you. I think that does change maybe the home environment, and Indiana just hasn't been able to have that in the last however many years, but
that's
we'll
not
see.
To say I'm not enjoying the downfall, the slight downfall of, you know, Assembly Hall's reign of terror in the Big Ten. I'm not damning that. I'm happy that happens because I'm a Purdue fan. But I just was kind of curious about that. I'd been thinking about that, and I wondered if the coaching carousel did that.
Yeah. No, I think that certainly plays a factor. And I think ultimately, too, I mean, we talked about, to bring this full circle, home teams winning about 75% of the games in the Big Ten Conference. And I mean, here's a bit of your example, or a bit of the ideas that go into that, which, by the way, Sam, there are five Big Ten teams that still have yet to win a Big Ten road game at this point in the year. We're almost halfway through. Is that not insane?
That is. Five.
You
want to
guess the five?
Not okay.
I'm pulling up the standings because I forgot two of them. So hang on.
I'm not pulling up the standings specifically, so I don't look at it. I'm gonna say Rutgers is one.
Rutgers is correct. You got one.
Okay. Goodness. Can I ask? Are all of them in the lower half, or are there a couple, one or two, in the upper?
I think there's one in the upper half.
Okay.
Hang on here. They're all about halfway or under.
Okay, Minnesota.
Minnesota has a Big Ten road win.
Oh wow. Good Lord. Is Nebraska one of those?
Nebraska is one of those. That's a one near halfway in the Big Ten standings that has yet to get a road win.
Wow. I was going to say IU.
Nope. IU's got a road win.
Okay. And see, I didn't want to be looked at as me sandbagging.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Oh goodness gracious. Michigan State's not one of those, is it?
Michigan State is one of those.
Oh goodness gracious. Great balls.
But think about that. I mean, that shows how wacky of a season this is.
What are the other teams? I'm bad at this.
Penn State.
I was going to guess Penn State too.
And Ohio State.
I wouldn't have guessed Ohio State.
The Buckeyes are still looking for their first Big Ten road win, but that just goes to show how difficult life has been for visitors this year.
The fact that Michigan State sits on that list and Minnesota doesn't, that kind of baffles me. We're at the point where we are in the conference season. Michigan State does not have a road win in the conference, but Minnesota does.
Gotta love it. Yep. Gotta love
it. And the Spartans have to go to Mackey.
Yes, and that's towards the end of the regular season. I think that's with 1 week to go in the regular season.
I think you're right.
Okay, so looking at the top of the Big Ten leaderboard, I think maybe the best way to do this, Sam, and if you have any, feel free to shoot. But thinking we just point out maybe some of the most interesting things that you're seeing in the Big Ten Conference. And I'll start with, at the very top, Wisconsin basketball. Wisconsin being now 5-1. And honestly, had they played any semblance of a good game at State College PA, they're probably 6-0. Like, obviously, they're more talented than Penn State, but they played really bad and still had a shot to win that game. Just came up short, which, again, happens in Big Ten college basketball.
Well, and let's think about this. I mean, is Purdue better than Northwestern, and is Purdue better than Nebraska? They're both answers are yes, but yet Purdue lost to both of those teams. So I completely – you don't damn Wisconsin going to a place like State College and losing to Penn State on a night that, you know, they just were off and still had an opportunity to win. You know, it just is a thing to where you're like, well – okay, it's the Big Ten. You know, it's
those nights are going to happen.
The Big Teniest thing of Big Ten things to say is, well, it is a Tuesday in January.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that just happens. And I guess what is so fascinating to me about Wisconsin isn't so much the one loss, but the fact that they're 5-1, and especially as we talk about teams' talent level, all of it's on a bit of a sliding scale. And I find it funny, almost comedic at this point, that every year we start the season and nobody pays any attention to Wisconsin. Nobody gives Wisconsin really a thought. And then Greg Gard just has this group just sitting there at the top of the Big Ten. It almost seems like every year, somehow that year in 2020, he clinched a share of the Big Ten title with Wisconsin. And I don't know how they were able to even pull that off. Like, there's so many times that Wisconsin just comes out of nowhere and you're like, oh my – I guess we forgot Wisconsin's an actual good program again. Like, we don't give them respect, and I don't understand why.
Well, and it is, we talked about this last week too, that, you know, after 1 year of them being down, we just kind of brushed them aside and said, well, Wisconsin's going to be down. We haven't seen back-to-back years of Wisconsin being down in a really, really long time. So if they have one season, they usually at least bounce back markedly better than what they were the year prior. I'm not saying 5-1 and 13-4 overall, you know, every year that they have a down year, but they bounce back. And this year, it should not be a surprise that Wisconsin is better and sitting atop the Big Ten right now. It just shouldn't be a shock.
Now, I'll tell you what part does shock me, or the part that I did not know. I did not know AJ Storr was going to be this good. I mean, the transfer came in and he's provided an athleticism that, I mean, we've seen some athleticism at Wisconsin in terms of like Johnny Davis, but it was in different ways, right? Johnny Davis was able to create shots, especially in the mid-range, to pull up jumper. Like, we've seen it in ways like that. We haven't seen Badgers jumping out of gyms. We've seen Badgers dunks, but it's usually in the form of like a Tyler Wall, right? Like, it's a long kid who's just hanging on
Michael
a rim.
Finley from when he was at Wisconsin, and he was.
But that was a while ago.
But that was yes.
But it's a good example.
Extremely long ago.
Yes. Yeah. But that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, we haven't seen one like that since. Like, maybe Michael Finley. I'm trying to like go through the Rolodex of
there have been a ton of Wisconsin Nigel Hayes athletes, but none of them have, in my opinion, have done as much as what Michael Finley did on the next level.
Oh, definitely fair. No, I would completely agree with that. Yeah. But it's been interesting to see the dynamic come in with AJ Storr seeing John Blackwell play as well as he has as a freshman. Again, we're talking about a Wisconsin team that is so deep they're having a hard time getting Connor Asigin on the floor, who was an all Big Ten freshman team member a season ago. Like,
probably the one of the better returners for the team, and he's having trouble getting into the getting minutes.
And probably one of the best shooters in the Big Ten conference. Agreed. Like, it's so ridiculous how deep Wisconsin is. I did not realize that team had that kind of dynamic athletically, and I didn't realize how deep they were heading in.
I have nothing to add to that because I'm right there with you, pal.
Yeah.
I had nothing. I, again, though, we did mention that we thought that maybe Wisconsin could be better than they were last year. Again, though, we weren't marketing, okay, they're going to start out at 5-0.
Correct.
And if it weren't for an off game at Penn State, they'd be 6-0. We didn't take that into consideration, maybe, but we thought maybe they could be better.
You know what I thought heading into the year? I thought they would be the fourth best team in the Big Ten Conference.
Yeah, fair. Fair. Yeah.
And they're still up there, but I thought they would be fourth. I don't think like the general media, though, quite had Wisconsin as high. Now, also to show how dumb I could be, I had Maryland at number three. And they have not just rounded into potential. I also had Michigan State at number two, and they haven't quite been at potential the way that maybe
said that we missed the mark on them yet? Are we at that point where we can successfully, or that we can say we've missed the mark on what we expected from Michigan State, or is there still time for them to recover?
So I think it depends what your expectations are of them. If it's to win a Big Ten title,
number two in the Big Ten.
That seems pretty difficult because I think Wisconsin and Purdue are right now racing to see who can have four losses or under to win this Big Ten.
I think Illinois is in on that too.
Yeah, and fair. I think
they're probably a little more. Like I have
two or three.
Two.
Okay.
Right now, Wisconsin, Purdue, Illinois, and Northwestern all only have two losses in the
conference. Okay. But no, fair. And I think you're looking at about maybe that number. Maybe around four. Maybe Purdue can go with only losing one more. Like, it's possible.
Four losses is definitely your thought to win the Big Ten.
I think it gets you a share. I just think the Big Ten's too hard for Purdue to go the next, 13 games and only lose one more time. Yeah. Purdue's uber talented, but, like, it's tough. We've just noted how hard it is to win on the road.
Purdue's still got to go to Piscataway, too. Just saying.
Just a pit for the Boilermakers.
The last two times they've gone to Piscataway, they've gotten beat. And they both times they were number one in the country. And they got beat.
So to come full circle though to your question on Michigan State.
Yeah.
Look, they're already at four losses. I think if your expectation is them to be one or two in the Big Ten, that's going to be pretty tough. They still have road trips to Purdue, road trips to Indiana. Like they got a pretty tough schedule after this middle stretch of their conference season, and they just dug themselves a bit of a hole. But I think if you're talking about a team that can maybe go on a run for the NCAA tournament, I mean, the clock is not out on that. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm sorry, I started to speak and then realized you weren't done yet. I'm just looking at the standings right now compared to, excuse me, goodness, what I've seen bracketology-wise. There's some discrepancies into some of the standing, how the standings play out and how the teams are being prognosticated to make
yes.
it to the tournament.
And so we will get to the bracketology here in just 1 second. Close the loop on Michigan State for this group. I mean, remember last year, this was a Michigan State team that you're like, oh boy, like this is difficult. Are they going to get into the tournament? Like we had some of those question marks and then they would have a stretch where they played elite defensively. And you're like, if they could just score a basket. And then a couple weeks later, it turned into one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the country and they couldn't play defense. And you're like, if they could get a stop, like what this team could be. And then in the weekend in Columbus in the NCAA tournament, they put it together and just slammed USC and second seed Marquette to get to the Sweet 16, played in the best game that March Madness had for us last year in Kansas State, Michigan State going to overtime.
Oh, that was so fun to watch. Oh,
yeah. But I mean, really, they're a shot away from winning that and then playing Florida Atlantic for a trip to go to the Final Four and what could have been another one of those Izzo magician jobs. So do I think this team has potential and talent? Yes. And I think we saw last year, like, look, you can make it all the way up to March, even with some of those question marks. And Tom Izzo can get this thing to gel.
Right.
So I think that, but the big question for me, Sam, and we'll get to it with bracketology, is you now are in a hole, though, where you have got to take care of the business in front of you now.
You can't lose games that you shouldn't.
And this sounds, and this is absolutely not coach talk in any way, because you can't think of it this way. But like last night, they won against Minnesota, and Tom Izzo had said afterwards that we won the game, but we did not progress as a team. Obviously, the coaches are wanting to see progression, right? Because they want to maximize that potential. They want to go on a run. They want to get go on a run through the tournament. But from a metric standpoint, like, you just got to win right now some of these games just to make sure you get a chance to get in there. And obviously, that's why coach wants progression, because once you get in there, you want to make some noise. You want to go on a run. You want to do something. But like, again, Michigan State has a stretch in front of itself. It's got to win these games to give it a good shot at maybe some losses on the back end or whatever, just so that they're feeling more confident and secure.
You don't want to put yourself in a position to where losses to teams that you should lose to make it, or let's say it this way, you have to have those games against teams that you should lose to. So yeah, going into Purdue, you don't want to have that as a win in order to get, you know, your spot in the bracket. You want to make sure you've got that in place before you go in. And if you come out of Mackey with a win, go you.
Yep.
But if you don't want to have that being, well, you got to win in Mackey. You haven't done it in how many years, you know, and then all of a sudden you run into it.
And like we've said in the past, I mean, Tom Izzo's found a way with these guys before. Last year, found a way to get them in and make some noise to what could have almost been a Final Four run. A couple of years ago, the COVID season, you remember Michigan State was out. And then in that final week, they beat Illinois, a top five Illinois team. Yep. And a couple of days later, won against Michigan, a top five Michigan team. And that put them into the play-in game. Where they kept the tourney streak alive. But like, Tom Izzo has fought tooth and nail towards the end of a season before and found ways. It would definitely not surprise me at all if Michigan State figures it out to get in. But it's definitely a time for them to win games now. They're 3-4 now in the Big Ten Conference.
Hey, Dalton, remind me where Michigan State had to go play that play-in game against UCLA.
Mackey. It just things don't work out at Mackey for Michigan State. It is.
That was when that if people forget the COVID year, they played the entire tournament in the Indianapolis area, which they also pulled in some area and I say area within a couple of hours campuses, Purdue being one of them, and Michigan State had to go play UCLA at Mackey Arena.
And they had UCLA beat.
Yep.
They had him beat.
UCLA ended up in the Final Four.
And UCLA went to the Final Four. It just, oh my gosh. The alternate universes that could exist of sports always seems to kill people. But hey, you've got some graphics, and it's kind of along the conversation we're having here. Yep. Let's bring up Mike DeCourcy's bracketology projections with Big Ten basketball, because like there, we're talking about Michigan State. And what I find interesting too, and we'll see with Michael DeCourcy's bracketology picks, do we have Michigan State on there?
Right here, pal. So over in the right against K-State.
And so they're in the play. Oh, that's actually really interesting. But so they'd be in the play-in game as of now.
Correct. They have he has Michigan State playing Kansas State in the 5-12 or in the 12 seed play-in game against to go play Utah State.
So, I mean, really, Michigan State's one of the last teams to get in on by DeCourcy's metrics. And by the way, I think Mike DeCourcy's about as credible as it gets. Trust him. ESPN's bracketology has Michigan State more in the field as a better seed than that. So it's interesting to see, too, that the metrics are telling different stories to some of the bracketologists on Michigan State. And again, as we went back to earlier, for the Spartans, It just win these games in front of you. Like, you got to take care of business, and then you're going to be okay. But as we take a look at the rest of the Big Ten Conference in the Big Dance, according to Mike DeCourcy, Purdue getting a one seed. I mean, that makes all the sense in the world as of now.
He's saying right now that Purdue is honestly could probably lose a couple, three more games and probably still be in consideration with the resume they've put together to this point. They actually could, you know, like lose three or four more games and still be in consideration for a one seed. Like, that's how solid Purdue is at this point. That's not to say it can't go south. It's just, it's not likely.
And that's why you should play a tough non-conference schedule, because if you take care of business there, it takes care of you on the back end. And Purdue played a tough non-conference schedule this year. Wisconsin sitting at a two seed right now. We were talking about the Badgers. That's pretty excellent for Wisconsin, a team that's ranked, what, like 14th in the country?
They are 11th in the most
11th, recent. Okay.
Illinois is 14th.
Got it.
But yes, yeah, that's a big move right there. And if you look, Illinois is right there as a four seed in the projected South.
And we should mention, for maybe some new listeners or people that are new to some of this, the AP has no factor in how the bracketology stuff. AP is just writers putting together what they think. The bracketology is actually using metrics and formulas of the net ranking, KPI, RPI, KenPom, all these different formulas to be able to actually punch out who some of the best teams in the country are. So you have Purdue a one seed, Wisconsin a two seed, and then I'd love to see Oakland a 15 being the matchup with Wisconsin.
I don't. You know why?
Why?
Because until a week ago, that was Purdue of Fort Wayne being projected because they're in the Horizon League with Oakland, but Purdue of Fort Wayne has lost a couple of games in a row, so they're bumped out of the automatic bid because the Horizon League only gets one. So I would love to see Purdue Fort Wayne there, Dalton.
Well, I mean, you and I both are from the 260, the Fort Wayne area, but I got to tell you, Greg Campy, the head coach of Oakland, one of the best guys in college basketball. That would make my heart swell too to see the Golden Grizzlies.
Let's say it this way: I'm not against Oakland necessarily. I would just prefer it to be Purdue Fort Wayne.
There's no losers in this one.
I'd rather it be the Dons this year. You know, I've seen Oakland in the tournament. I haven't seen the Dons in the tournament. You know why? Because they've never been there. So let's share the love, okay?
Fair enough. Let's move to the four seed Illinois. So the Illini, the third Big Ten team we're hiding, not counting Michigan State. We'll come back around, but going in order of seeds, Illinois, the four seed. This makes sense as of now, I think.
I think, honestly, because they have lost a couple of games. They were riding pretty high when the whole issue with Terrence Shannon Jr. popped up, and, you know, he had to leave the team for the time being anyways. And, you know, they've still produced pretty well. They played pretty well, even though they've lost a couple. But I think that four seed at this time is still showing that, okay, we're not 100% sure what they're going to be, but they're still playing at a very high enough level anyways that we can make them a four seed. I think it's good.
And Coleman Hawkins is rounding into form. Like, Coleman Hawkins is having a year in the way that he's been playing recently. Watched some of that game with Illinois at Michigan last night and some of the step back threes he was hitting. I mean, it's just, that should not be allowed. Like, it's ridiculous. And that'll give him an NBA future as well. Sure. Like, he's playing that kind of well.
Well, the nice thing about not the situation, but the fact that somebody like Terrence Shannon Jr. was able or had to be pulled from the team, they've been able to step up. The pieces they had in place have been able to step up very nicely. And there are just there's still a lot of weapons in Brad Underwood's cabinet right now.
If we look, so that's three of them. Northwestern, a 10 seed. The Wildcats would get back in. It'd be the third time in school history. All three times would be under head coach Chris Collins. And it just makes the conversation about ever thinking of firing Chris Collins all the more sillier.
How ludicrous it was.
Yeah, I didn't understand it before last year, and it took like a magical Big Ten season and him being Big Ten Coach of the Year, I suppose, to calm and temper those talks. But, I mean, again, he took Northwestern to its first ever tournament and
should have won that year.
Yeah. Well, and they won the first game, but they should have beat Gonzaga the second game.
That's what I mean. They should have beaten Gonzaga. They should have been a Sweet 16 team.
Yeah. So I don't know. I have a lot of respect for Chris Collins, and Mike DeCourse has got him in as a 10 seed. If we go back to the right, I believe there's an 11 seed, and yes, it is Nebraska. How about Nebraska and Northwestern? Now, here's something interesting, too. Nebraska's the only Big Ten team that has yet to win an NCAA tournament game. Out of all the Big Ten conference, there's only one program. It's Nebraska.
Like in its history?
Yes.
Wow, I didn't realize that. I thought you meant just like as a Big Ten member.
No, in school history, like Nebraska ever. Has yet They're to win over. An NCAA tournament game.
And they've got the runner-ups, runners-up from last year in DeCourcy's prognostication.
Wow. So that would be, yeah, it would be great to see.
Say needs to go to the tournament at least once in his career, right?
Absolutely. And you know what, too? Like, we talk about lovable coaches, Fred Hoiberg. I think a lot of people feel a lot of joy for him being able to have a year at Nebraska, and hopefully it ends with a turning run like this. We mentioned Michigan State as a 12 seed in the play-in game as of now. The first four out, according to Mike DeCourcy. Yeah, right there's a little Big Ten flavor there, Sam. Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got Boise State, Ohio State, Gonzaga. Is not in the tournament field.
That's
right now,
crazy.
Which everybody's like, oh, well, that is surprising. You don't understand. Like, the Gonzaga's been around for so long that people a lot that were born during this run don't know a tournament without Gonzaga. Like, I can remember, and I know you can too, Gonzaga becoming onto the scene as the Cinderella. Like, and 20 years later, here they are, you know, we're shocked they're not in the field right now. But the one thing I wanted to bring up, and we talked about this, the rankings or the standings in the Big Ten right now, and the teams that Mike DeCourcy is projecting out to make the tournament. Mm-hmm. One thing you don't see, you see a Northwestern, you see a Nebraska. You see a Michigan State, you don't see an IU. He does not have IU in this tournament. At 12-6, 4-3 in the conference.
And you know, it's funny you say that, because I actually asked Jerry Palm recently, about a week or two back, the case on Indiana, and his answer was flatly, they just don't win big games.
Okay.
Like they win some of the other games, and they've had opportunities. They had Kansas. They were up on Kansas in the second half, couldn't close out the deal, and they've had so many of those types of games where they still are looking for a signature win, a super impactful metric win. Like, they just have yet to get a big win, and that's the case against the Hoosiers.
Well, and don't get me wrong. I'm a Purdue fan, so it doesn't. I'm not hurt by this, but it just is something. They have had a 12-6. You're right, though. They struggled with McNeese.
Yeah,
you know, at home, or Morehead or whoever they played somebody right after Kansas and struggled at home against them. But yet they go play Kansas and they're in it. But then Purdue comes into town and Purdue wipes them clean, you know. And so then it wanders. I looked at it six different times this bracket while I was making it, and I'm like, there is no IU on here.
So, and here's what's interesting. Let me run through their non-conference real quick, and then we can close out the Big Ten men's convo. We'll switch to women's for a moment. But if you look at their non-conference, what Indiana did, they beat Florida Gulf Coast at home by 6.
Which isn't a horrible win.
No.
That's a decent win.
They beat Army by 8 at home. They beat Wright State at home by 9. They lost to UConn and New York by 20. They beat Louisville, which Louisville is a dumpster fire, beat them by 8. They beat Harvard at home in Indianapolis by 13. They beat Maryland in Big Ten play. They beat Michigan in Big Ten play. Back to non-conference we go. They lose to Auburn by 28. They lose to Kansas at home. They beat Morehead State by 1 in Bloomington. Morehead
State. Okay, yeah.
They beat North Alabama. They beat Kennesaw State, and back into Big Ten play. Like, that non-conference.
So they have beaten nobody.
Correct. I mean, that's really the case against Indiana is because and they had some of those games in front of them and they just haven't won them. Now, that's the beauty of the Big Ten play. Big Ten will give you opportunities like tonight. They go to Madison, Wisconsin. You win that one. The narrative changes a little bit and right. and your situation changes. But Indiana does not have good wins. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of transpires moving forward. But as we mentioned, we got a lot of Big Ten men's basketball talking. How about Big Ten women's basketball?
Yeah.
Last night, Penn State gets another win over Purdue. Hey, Penn State's a team to watch now, folks, because Ashley Owusu is back. Penn State's been good. They got ranked for the first time in about 8 years. Ashley Owusu, who was one of the best Big Ten players at Maryland earlier in her career, yeah. transferred out, went to Virginia Tech, dealt with some injuries, kind of found herself out of a playing rotation, lands back in the Big Ten at Penn State. Penn State's got her now, and they got McKenna Marisa coming back. Like, Penn State is a team to watch in this Big Ten conference. But then this weekend, Sam, Michigan State goes to Minnesota, and what I think might be just about the most interesting game, if not maybe the second most interesting game of the weekend, because Michigan State has first-year head coach Robin Fralick in the Big Ten. Minnesota has first-year head coach Don Plitzewicz in the Big Ten conference. And talking with Robin recently, she said, I don't know what we did, but the Big Ten conference decided to baptize us both by fire with the first 5 to 6 games that both these teams play, because the schedules for both of them have just been brutal. But they both come in 13-4 on the year, 3-3 in Big Ten play. And this could be a big, big game in this Big Ten journey.
Well, yeah, because we've talked about Minnesota in the past, kind of playing out of what we expected from them.
Yes.
Same with Michigan State to a certain extent.
Yes.
And so you've got two teams that are kind of on the same projection right now that are kind of stepping out and playing beyond what they're expected. But now they're playing a game against one another, and that really gives them an opportunity to stand out as the team being the one that's going to overextend and supersede what people expected from them. And I would say, just because I've interacted with you enough, that I would think that maybe Michigan State has that edge. Now, I don't know that for sure because I haven't studied Minnesota completely and 100%, but you know, just what Robin's been doing at Michigan State just is really impressive. And I guess I should be just as equally impressed with what's going on at Minnesota as well.
And I think you should. I think this is going to be a big game, but I think you're right. Both what these coaches have done in year one, you just don't see it too often. You saw it last year with Illinois and Shauna Green. They've dipped a little bit here in year two, but what Robin and Don have both done with those programs, it's been pretty incredible. And we mentioned those records, 13-4 overall, 3-3 in Big Ten play. Like, these are two bubble teams as of now. Yeah. I should say, like, for Michigan State with the bracketology, they're in as of now. But you never know, especially with the, 7-person player rotation Michigan State's working with. You just don't want to – you want to stay ahead of the curve, right? Like, that's kind of the thinking. Right. I think everybody would agree with that. It's better to work from out front than to work from behind. And Minnesota's kind of in that case. Look, Minnesota played a difficult non-conference schedule where they brought UConn into the barn. The thing with Minnesota is they haven't played many games outside of the barn. I think they've only played 4 games away from Minneapolis this year.
Yeah, they're
to this point. Yeah, and they haven't played any neutral games. So. No. Like, that's the, I guess, argument, if you want.
They have not beaten a ranked team yet either.
Yes. Yes. But those opportunities will be there in Big Ten play. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And Mara Braun, the Gophers' leading scorer, is averaging about 19 points a game here in her sophomore year, just having an incredible season in Minneapolis. But that game should be phenomenal. That's certainly one that you want to tune into, and a lot of like bracketologists will be paying attention to. And besides, even with the NCAA projections or whatever postseason projections, Big Ten tourney wise, like, these are two teams that might end up close to each other in terms of seeding. And this could be one of those that you look back on to see maybe who won this one on this date.
Is it safe to say at this point right now, everybody's playing for second for behind Iowa?
Only if, and I'm glad you said that, because that allows us to talk about this game coming up this weekend. Yeah. I just wanted to mention real quick, I wanted to get the return date, but Minnesota in women's basketball does come to Michigan State on February 5th. So they do play twice. This is just the first one of two, but again, one of the best games this weekend. The other best game is number two Iowa going to Columbus to take on Ohio State. This one's on NBC, your local NBC channel at noon on Sunday. Right. Like this is local NBC. If Iowa wins this one, I think it becomes that case. Like I think if they've taken care of Indiana the way they did, and if they beat Ohio State, and honestly, at this point,
did anybody foresee 27 points over IU?
No.
Goodness. Yes. I know it was in Iowa City, but you couldn't have seen that happening. You just couldn't.
Nope. And it raises more questions to me about what is Indiana, because they're taking care of a lot of good, like they take care of business a lot, but they've dropped a couple of those stinkers. That one in Iowa City, and they had that big loss to Stanford earlier this year in the non-conference.
Well, didn't they struggle in Maine too?
Yes. Like there's quite a few teams that at this point you're still trying to figure out. And you know Indiana's good, but trying to figure out what the hang-up is a little bit of a mystery still around that team. But number two, Iowa goes to Ohio State, as we said, noon tip on Sunday. This one's fascinating to me because Ohio State's backcourt is so long, so athletic. I think they can give some trouble to Iowa's backcourt, much like what Michigan State did with its full-court press. Like, it rattled Iowa for bits of that game. If you remember, Iowa won on a buzzer beater from Caitlin Clark in the final, literally final second, to win the game 76-73 against Michigan State. But Michigan State was in that game in a big part because of the pressure they put on the Hawkeyes and forcing turnovers. Ohio State has a press like that, but it's longer and maybe more athletic. Like, I think if Ohio State's able to create turnovers, maybe Ohio State can win that game.
What they've got going for them, the big thing they've got going for them is it's at Value City. It's not in Iowa City. It's in Columbus that they have the home crowd behind them rather than the Iowa crowd behind the Hawkeyes. But it's a tall order, and you're going to have to play one heck of a darn near perfect game with the way Iowa's playing. It's not impossible. Iowa's won, 15 straight, I think?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Ohio State's 1-4. So like they lost to Michigan. That's their one loss in Big Ten play right now.
It was just a bad game for them.
Yeah. Game. But that would give them, you know, like however many wins in a row, that they would be up there in comparison, or at least competitively with wins in a row with Iowa. So it is a possibility. And I'm not saying that's apples to apples, you know, on the wins on in a row, but it just shows that, you know, one bad game and they're sitting behind Iowa. But I honestly think that they would be the ones. They've got so much. Sheldon, JC Sheldon and McMahon. I know I'm missing way more than that, but
the Taylor Theory, the addition of Celeste Taylor. She was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year last year at Duke, and she's came in and averaged 9 points a game and been able to lock things down. Like, you know, your point is well taken. It's a well-rounded out squad with a lot of talent. Like, it's a deep, talented team.
So I guess if there was a team that I would say would mark, you know, depending on what Ohio State does, if they beat Iowa this weekend, I can't say I'm shocked, but at the same time, with the way Iowa's playing, I'd be a little surprised.
But if Iowa does find a way to walk out of the shot with the win there, like then what, everybody has two losses in Big Ten play? Except everybody, Indiana, who they beat.
Except for IU, everybody but them and IU would have two losses.
They do play again at Bloomington. Right. Iowa and Indiana. So that will be a critical game regardless. I mean, at this point, but much to your first question that originated this conversation is it Iowa's kind of to lose? Is it whoever's going to be in second place? I think if Iowa wins this one, that's another one of those big check marks off to making that come true. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Real quick, so as we mentioned, there's a lot of great stuff happening Big Ten basketball. men's and women's. Also on the women's side, by the way, another rivalry, Indiana goes to Mackey. That's on Sunday at 2 o'clock on Peacock. I was going to say, never have to get any fan excited about that one on either side. That's
I don't
always
care if it's one. Purdue and IU playing at Tiddlywinks. We're going Boiler Up.
That's, again, just the bitterness of rivalries, and I'm here for it. But real quick, before we close out shop, wanted to talk about, I know you had mentioned to me before we turned the mics on, Jim Harbaugh and the again, as you look at, it's January, so that means it's Harbaugh flirting with NFL season, and
yeah,
that's kicked up.
It seems to be that the NFL's flirting hard back with him too. My question was, you know, we made this statement last year, we didn't really want to talk about it again this year, but yet here we are again. But my question is Michigan, can you kind of see Michigan being at the end of this drama too, since they've kind of said, okay, this is who's going to take his place if he does leave? Like, they've got already got a coach in place in case Jim leaves. Are they finally to the point where they're like, please just end this?
It's a good question. I don't know if that is the case, given the fact that, A, you just won a national championship, and right, you fed a starving fan base that national title for the first time since 1997. And then there's all the talk about some people maybe being unhappy or happy, whatever, but with Ward Manuel, the athletic director. And so if this is just outside speculation, right? Nothing to this. But if I was an athletic director who's having mixed reviews among my fans, retaining the coach who just won and delivered a national championship would be priority number one. And I think you've seen Michigan kind of pull out those stops, offering, what, $11.5 million a year, I think the contract was to Jim Harbaugh. I would imagine that there's a big piece of it that they want to keep Jim because of all of those reasons involved. And he did make Michigan matter in a way again that it hadn't for two decades, really. I mean, since Lloyd Carr, right, Michigan football had not mattered like this. So I would imagine the priority is to
saying the Brady Hoke years weren't a jewel in the crown of Michigan football.
They were in my eyes. Those in the Rich Rod years, those were,
you know, what kills me about Brady Hoke is he did really well at Ball State, which is what got him the job in Ann Arbor. And now it's like, well, great.
Yeah.
And you just ran Ball State through the mud because you couldn't do it in Ann Arbor.
But I would imagine that would be the case with Michigan football. And I don't know, like, to your point, if you're asking if
just the personality of them, Jim,
oh, I think so, yeah.
Is that all they're doing to kind of save face on recruiting and be able to still go out and do the recruiting? Because we all know that the head coach doesn't have as much one-on-one with recruits. It's those position coaches. So, like, you know, the position coaches, if they're putting one of those guys in at the head, those recruits kind of know that coach already. Is that kind of what they're doing just to verify that, hey, we still want you at Michigan in case, even if Coach Harbaugh does leave?
Yeah, I would imagine so. Like, that makes sense to me. And I think, honestly, that's the right way to kind of play it. Like, especially in this day and age where high school kids are flipping all the time, like, and there's so much movement all the time and insecurity and instability. Like, it's trying to offer some sense of stability. So I get that. But I am curious because Harbaugh's interviewed with who? The Falcons and the Chargers so far?
Correct. But so Belichick has been in Atlanta as well, though.
I saw that, I saw somebody tweet about it. They said, can you imagine the interview where they say, now, Bill, tell me about a time where you had to face adversity? And the answer 28-3 against you in the Super Bowl when I beat you. No,
there was a game we were down by 25. That's all you have to start it with. And we ended up winning in overtime. It's a pretty big game. You remember?
Yeah. Goodness. A couple
years ago.
Sports. What a crazy world. Was there anything else you wanted to bring up with
that. No, I just, it's, it, I, my big question was, is what is Michigan's motive? Are they just covering bases for recruiting, or are they just kind of going, okay, we get it. You want to be in the NFL, just go already, you know, because you could see either one being actually a viable reason behind them saying so-and-so is going to be our coach if Harbaugh leaves.
Yeah, I think
there's got to be a motivation somewhere. What is
I that? Lean much more to just trying to establish security, and because enough. I think if Harbaugh enough. Wants to come back, I think Michigan will take him given the title.
Well, I don't know that they, but I just don't know. You know, I mean, granted, you'll take a great coach, you know, but at the same time, at some point, you do get tired of it, you know. And I just didn't know if they were at that point yet, even though they got to the okay, we got to the top of the hill.
Oh, I think it's just win, baby. In the words of the Raiders, like I think if as long as you're winning, the personality
can't of Raiders, he could be going to Las Vegas too. I mean,
oh, there's so many different clues just sitting in front of us with all. Oh,
wouldn't that be great? He takes the Las Vegas job, and he that's the first line he starts with: "Just win, baby." That's it.
So good. But okay, so we'll close down shop for another edition of Big Talk. Sam, you want to let the people know where they can find us?
Bo Show at the TikToks, the Instagrams, and the platform formerly known as Twitter. We are at B1G_talk. That's B1G_talk. Big Talk, not B-I-G. Dalton, B1G. And then you go to Facebook, B1G Talk, Big Talk. Do not click on, well, you can, but I would prefer you to click on just Big Talk, not all Big Talk. So just Big Talk. Big Talk's us. But then you can find us every Friday morning on the ASAP network. We stream live every Friday morning. And then afterwards, our podcast is available anywhere you find your podcasts through Lounge Media Group. We do play every Friday that there is a home or that there is a basketball game here in Bluffton. Our Big Talk will air today before the game starts. So, but if you want to see the video, go to Spotify and find our stream there as well.
Perfect.
That's it.
There's the rundown. But do want to thank you all for tuning in for another edition of Big Talk, college sports with Midwest perspective, blue collar and blue blood. We'll be back next week to talk a lot more Big Ten basketball. But for now, for Sam Sprunger, myself, Dalton Shetler, so long, everybody. Have a great weekend.
See ya.